Welcome to the Homily Studio for Sunday the 18th of June, which is the 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's about halfway through the year, I think, middle of June. Let's take a moment to introduce ourselves. Who do we have in the room this morning?
Hi, everybody. Kia ora tātou. My name is Jane Maisie. I'm a sister of St. Joseph. I work part-time for NCRS, do graphic design and illustration, and I'm studying counselling.
Kia ora koutou. I'm Chris Duthie-Young. I'm Director of Church Mission in the Archdiocese of Wellington. So I'm based here in Wellington. It's a lovely day here today.
As it always is in Wellington, isn't it? Catherine, you're in Wellington too.
Yes. I've been sunbathing out on the deck. Well, actually, I've had coffee out by the boats this morning at around towards Eastbourne. Just stunning, one of those wonderful Wellington days. So if you can hear that, I'm from Te Awa Kairangi and I'm a semi-retired with a teaching background. And I work some of the time for the National Liturgy Office just to keep my brain functioning.
Oh, does that keep your brain functioning? Is it enough?
It's just enough, yes. It's fine.
Catherine, your brain functions very well, so work at the National Liturgy Office must be suiting you. And I'm still John O'Connor. I seem to have been here almost every time for it's now close on 2 years. So we're probably getting close to our 100th Homily Studio. I must look up when that is. But we're aware that we have listeners all over the world. Like, people contact me not only from around Aotearoa, but also across Australia and the United States, Asia. Even we've got a few listeners in the Philippines. So hello, especially to you there, and in Europe, particularly in Italy. So wherever you are listening, our aim is that we grow more in our understanding of the scripture, the word of God. But the word of God for us is, of course, not simply the text on a page, but the person of Jesus Christ. So we begin in prayer just with a moment to be aware of the situation that we find ourselves in today, our own joys and hopes and griefs and anxieties, whatever's going on in your life and in the life of those you love. All of that we bring before God, knowing that it is in the midst of this, because of the incarnation, that we encounter Jesus Christ, the Word of God, with us. And we pray in the entrance antiphon for this Sunday. The antiphons are often not used, but they are wonderful if you use them. I think the liturgy says you can replace the antiphon with a hymn, which is what most parishes do. But here's the entrance antiphon for today. O Lord, hear my voice, for I have called to you. Be my help. Do not abandon or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Lord, hear my voice, for we have called to you. Be our help. Okay, who's going to begin today? Jane, you began by introducing yourself, so it means you don't have to begin.
Thank you.
Now, Chris laughed at that comment most. So, Chris, is that you begin?
Fantastic. Look, let me add it, John. I'm happy as to begin. I love this gospel, and I love the way we have narrowly interpreted it in the past. And I love the fact that in my work this week, working in a diocese, I can honestly say I have never felt as much this week how many troubled and abandoned sheep there are in our societies at the moment, with the difficulties we face post-pandemic and everything else that's going on. It's never struck me as hard how we desperately need to call our people, all of them, to be shepherds. So I'm just going to start there, chuck it out there, and we'll see where that goes later on.
Great, Chris. Wow.
Yes, all of them. And that includes us. I wanted to what really struck me was I didn't want to be thinking about us and them. So the troubled are over there and we're okay, that we're the chosen ones, that we are precious in God's eyes. And there are those messages coming through the readings. But I also see myself and everyone else I know, we have our times of trouble too. We have our challenges and possibly abandoned. at times, and we need each other. We need prayer, and we need the Eucharist. And so that's where I, that one of the messages that I'm getting, that as disciples, we're not, even though in the gospel and in the first reading, it's quite clear that, you know, God is calling us, we're the ones who have been chosen to hear his voice, there's this covenant made with my people, you are precious, and all of that. But at the same time, in all humility, I want to say, well, we're also sometimes lost sheep.
It's true. I also was struck by the hunger that's referenced in the readings, but what really took me was the movement that kind of moves throughout all the three readings. Like there's the movement of God kind of proclaiming this new covenant, say, to the people of Israel, that movement from God to us. And then there's kind of the movement of where the people, their hearts are, well, Moses is there, he moves up the mountain. They start thinking about this new, well, old covenant. And then the movement of Christ to us from God, you know, and the changing of our hearts and that movement. And then the movement of Jesus among his disciples when they're hungry and saying, you know, kind of spreading that, the food out to the disciples, which has then been kind of trickled down to us through our ancestors. So it's just this, so many words like moved, send out, drive them out, Jesus sent, go. So it's kind of, yeah, that's what's really staying with me at the moment.
Well, that's a powerful point, Jane. It touched me so clearly in that first reading too. This is the same thing. It's not so much we who go to God, but God who's come to us. And we get it in that Old Testament reading. So they're journeying through the wilderness and they arrive at this wonderful holy place, the place of Sinai. And Moses goes up the mountain. So to oversimplify this, but it makes sense to me. In the Old Testament, we get the sense as the way to communicate with God or the way to really hear from God is to get the holy person on your behalf to go up the mountain, because if God lives in the heavens, then the one who goes up the mountain is therefore closer to God. And the holy person, Moses in this case, brings the message back down the mountain. So we get this in the first reading. Moses then went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and then says, go back down and remind the people, I've carried you on eagle's wings. I've brought you to myself. And then it shifts from the past, this is what I did for you in the past, to the future. But in the incarnation, in Christ, God has not only come down the mountain, but has come to the lowest point of human existence. Chris, I'm going back to where you began. There's so many people who are struggling in our society. And I'm often really moved by the number of people who I think, well, at least they're not struggling. Look at them. And then you have a conversation with them and realize the magnitude, the pain, the depth of their anguish is enormous. So we're all in the same boat. And what we can often do is think we've got to get out of this difficult boat so we can be in the place of encounter with God. And God in Jesus is saying, no, I'm coming to the boat you are sinking in, or the ocean you are drowning in. That's exactly where I will meet you. And our problem is so often we're trying to encounter the divine somewhere other than where we are. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm with you right there in the midst of that, whatever it is. And this is why we call what we celebrate good news. Like, this is what we need.
Fantastic. Yeah, thanks, John. It occurs to me that I was reading the other day, Richard Rohr, his own definition, I suspect, of what suffering is. And for him, it's just simply that which we can't control. And I think you need to add to it too, and that we don't like. Anything that is not good, and I can't control it. And for me, that's been helpful this week. And it fits here because everybody is wrestling with aspects of that. And I talked about we all need to be called to be shepherds. My words were wrong. It's laborers that we're called to be. It's willing to be with people. in that suffering, in that which we can't control and we really wish wasn't part of our lives. So, yeah, I totally hear what your connection with their first reading is brilliant there, John. I like that. And here it lands in the lives of people today. So I've gone back to that opening point again. I know it's very much on my mind.
Just yesterday I had, it's random how these things happen, three pastoral conversations and quite in depth. And just when you're speaking about suffering, it's all mental health suffering.
Mm.
And yeah, that remembering that Jesus, God, is with us in the suffering. It's really, I think that's so helpful for us, and to know that we can be that. We can be that presence of with, like the disciples. I think that's what they were sent out to do and to be empathetic, because empathy is the thing that can really help people to heal.
And I love the way too that when we think of suffering, might think of, I'm suffering because of the terrible things that happen in the world or that others have done to me. But in that wonderful Romans section, Christ died for us. Christ came to us when we were sinners. So that sin, that suffering, is our own doing to our souls. So we can often think, yes, the suffering that others do to us or that's in the world, we're all part of this together, and Christ comes to us in that, but not my sin, because I did that to myself. But here the point is, even your sin, like if you're 100% to blame for the suffering that you're in, that's right, when you encounter Christ. In the position of, and this is a wonderful link to 12-step recovery, and Richard Rohr, who you mentioned, Chris, has written a lot very powerfully on this. We were still helpless. This is the first step, powerlessness. We were still helpless when at this appointed moment Christ came to us. Wow. When we were most helpless. And that's exactly what we don't like. Chris, you spoke about it. We'd much rather be in control. Like, and even to be so in control that I will choose some suffering. And some people, you know, it's easy to choose our Lenten fast. But it's our choosing. But what about the reality that we're in that's difficult, that we don't like? Ah, that's the place of encounter.
The line that struck me more than anything else in the readings was the last line of the gospel. Without cost, you have received, and without cost, you are to give. And so to just move this on to the end of that gospel reading where, you know, Jesus is saying, I need laborers, and then he summons, which is quite an authoritarian word there in that reading, summons his apostles, the 12, to get to work, get out there and do something. You've been with me for 3 years. You've seen what I do. You've heard what I've said. You've watched, you've witnessed miracles. You've seen, some of you have seen me walk on water. Now get out there, because what I have demonstrated to you is what you are to carry on and do and get out there. You have been sent to give. You've been given all this. Everything is a free gift. Free gift. Your life.
Love it, Catherine. Given
freely, and off you go.
Catherine, the bit that's missing from that line just above it, you know, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, drive out demons, go to church, fell off there. I don't know where that's gone. You're right. It's get out there and do what I've done.
In today's terminology, we call it the work, spiritual and corporal works of mercy.
Yeah. That's a great point, Chris. I know you dropped it in with a little bit of cynicism. Where's go to church? And of course we know where it is. However, one of the things that's really interesting in the revision of the Catholic Roman Missal of 2011 is that, you know, the words the priest says at the end of Mass, it used to be, one of them was, the Mass is ended, go in peace. But they changed all of those so that the first word is go. So it's go, the Mass is ended. Like, go and proclaim the good news. Like, go. And that word go is really important. And I was at Mass the United States a while ago, a few months ago, and at the end of Mass, and I was just there as a parishioner in a parish that I didn't know, everyone stood up and without a word moved out of the church. They processed out, like absolutely every person. So when the priest said go, there was no final hymn, and everyone, like the priest moved out first, and everyone in silent procession down three aisles followed out in silence. I thought, wow, because the processions are really significant in the Mass, the procession in and the offertory procession and the communion procession. And here was a procession out. Like, it's these people, as they were moving out, will think, like, we've been sent to do something. I don't know how it happened or if it's common in this part of the United States, but gosh, it was very powerful. Like, we tend to, at the end of Mass, sort of disperse or fall about, or some stay talking and some try and pray and some go out the side doors. But there were side doors in this church. No one went out them. They all processed together out the main door. It was a very powerful symbol. Go.
Go, get out of here.
Go, get out of here.
There was something else that really struck me in the readings as well. I definitely identify with what you said, Catherine, about all is gift. You know, all were given everything. And it seems too, like the one line it says, "And how I bore you up on eagle's wings." It's a really, I see beauty in that line, like the beauty of the eagle. Eagles are massive. But the thing about eagles is the young eagles attach themselves to about like the top of the wings. And so if a hunter is shooting the eagle, the arrow has to go through the eagle to get to the young. And so this image of a loving, compassionate, motherly God that gives us and cares for us is really, I can see that through the readings too, that a God is one of kindness and compassion, and that cares for us and loves us and gives us this covenant, and that keeps on loving us, like go, go, go. It's not, you know, there's that saying, going, going, gone. Well, there's no gone, because it's just going, going, going.
Going, 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 going.
Yeah, like God's love is infinite, and that motherly love is always flying with us and always protecting us. And that's, just something I thought was really beautiful.
Can I just add in here, like just for listeners, Jane and I met for the first time only a few weeks ago at Te Kupinga in Auckland, but we had a great conversation, the price of which was Jane now has to come on the homily studio. But one of the things you showed me, Jane, or actually somewhat one of the other staff there, Merv, who's known to listeners of the homily studio as well, showed me the poster that you've done, like the scripture poster. Can you, I mean, you don't have to make a link, but can you tell us about this window, this image?
Yeah, sure. It was the Books of the Bible project, which, like any things that are somewhat providential, come by surprise. And then as an artist, I think writers are like this, something gets into your heart. See, Jesus, God is sneaky. Like God sort of gets in and plants this thing, and it took about 8 months to make, but it's really a visual representation of the Catholic Bible. And it took that long because of the work required for it and because of the community effort that went into it. Mm. It's putting the word into visuals, and really the concept of the window was because of stained glass windows. They're that transportation into something beyond us, beyond the now. And that's like the written word, the visual word, is to open our hearts and to, through the beauty of it, to show us that God is active and always moving and dynamic in our lives.
Mm. Yeah. James, it's an absolutely magnificent representation, and the next church I build, this is going to be the enormous window, so that we can see it as a window, the light shining through. But at the moment, it's available in post. Yeah. Your hope, you told me, was that every school needs this. Like young people need to grow up with this visual representation.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So people can go to the website, designjane.com, and please buy a print, or if you're a grandparent, buy a print for your grandchild. There's different sizes that you can get. The more we can get this into the world, the better. It's gone sort of, it's definitely been international, and yeah, the more we can get people seeing the beauty of God active and alive in their lives, that would be wonderful.
And I've just, the smaller one I've decided I'm going to get from you to put on my fridge. I think that's going to be
cool.
My home. So, but look, we'll add a link to that below, Jane, because I think it's
great.
You know, when I saw it, I thought, wow, this is the homily studio. Like, this is a visual, you know, representation. So we'll place a link below that today.
Thank you.
Interested. And the other thing, can I just say, is that whatever part of the world you're in, you've got arrangements with printers so that locally in different parts of the world it can be printed and distributed.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, that's the beauty of on-demand printing. We try to look at it from an environmental perspective. Instead of printing them all here in New Zealand and then shipping them out, we're printing in a country closest to wherever the person is ordering. It's better for the environment. We can do larger orders, like we've done larger orders for our diocese in Australia, and then we just contact me and I can get you better prices for something like that.
Good. So, Jane, if you can send me through whatever information you want people who are listening to find. Okay, Chris, now this is your opportunity to talk about what art you've done this week.
What I've done this week?
What art? We're talking about art. So have you got an artistic project? You can...
Been fixing up some more bicycles, but I don't know that quite fits into this category.
No. Well, you help people to go, get on your bike. That's another way of finishing them. On your bike.
An idea occurred to me, John, just to throw it out there. If anybody was going to preach on this gospel, on this these readings, and wanted a visual that young people might relate to, the eagles carrying the hobbits out of Lord of the Rings made eagles bigger than we'd ever seen them before. There's lots of very evil-looking eagles beating up dragons and things. That's probably not what we're after. But there is the time when they are rescued by the eagles and carried back. And I think that visual for younger people may be something that makes that
The eagles hanging in Wellington Airport are pretty good.
Yeah, except a Gandalf sitting on the top of one with his wand, and that's probably his staff. It's probably a little bit of a mix-up with the shepherd.
Okay. Chris, can you send me a link and I'll attach that too to something that people can use? That's great. Okay, a take-home from each person. If you were preaching this weekend to a congregation that you might already know, what's one thing that you would want them to go home with from the celebration of the 11th Sunday in Ordinary Time?
Well, that last line again, that we've been freely given so much. And when we absorb that message deep down in our hearts, you know, surely what we can do is to spread that message, spread that love around in our daily encounters. And so we are being sent to give. And what does that look like for me? Well, I go back to my fave Micah quote, to be a disciple of Jesus looks like acting justly, loving tenderly, and walking with humility with God.
And thanks, Catherine. And I'd follow that too with the idea that moved with pity, looking at how many people are troubled and abandoned, we are called to be those laborers. We are called to listen to people, because that's most of the story. Let them simply listen, be there on the journey with them.
And I think to trust in the providential God that is always going, that is never gone, that longs for you to fly, just like the eagle, and to keep loving as you fly.
Yeah. And my take home, I think, too, would be pretty much the same. We are carried. It's okay to be carried. It's wonderful to be carried. So, Chris, it's the eagle image from the end that you mentioned, the visual representation. But you mentioned, you began, Chris, by talking about the poor, those in need, those who really are struggling. Like, our problem is we often think that we are the ones who will help those who are struggling without really knowing and facing our own struggle, which is the starting point, because once we've experienced being carried in that place, and then we're actually able to really be with others. All of this we bring to prayer, perhaps especially aware of those who are struggling, those we love, and ourselves, knowing that we are carried, that Jesus, the Word of God, is present and active in the realities in which we find ourselves this week. And we pray in the opening prayer, the collect for this Sunday. O God, strength of those who hope in you, graciously hear our pleas. And since without you, mortal frailty can do nothing, grant us always the help of your grace, that in following your commands, we may please you by our resolve and our deeds. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.